creature of warlords from deep space. Macross hurled through the night to distant place. Crushed and forgotten to earth. Magically give and rebirth here. Just a pile of rust was all they found on that isle that no one suspected to see.
He was making it up.
10 years later, Super Fortress Macross would rise, guardian of you and of me.
The singer
of Macross, the arm of a new age.
So basically he was reading the outline of the show they gave him.
Yeah, yes.
And someone was recording him at the time, sneakily.
Jeez. Okay, good evening and welcome to another episode of Macross Speaker Podcast. This is February 11th, 2014, and I am Renato, apparently also known as Renato on the forums. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Richard. Goobaba.
Richard the Enthusiastic.
Yes.
Very. And this is Gwyn Campbell, who used to host this thing, but is also known by the name of Torchiro on the forums. And to my left is...
I'm known as Save on the forums. I'm also known as Save Robotech in the anime Macross. Or you can just call me by my real name, Adrian Lozano.
And we are sitting around here drinking decalcha, which is green tea.
Yes.
Oh, did I spoil the surprise? Am I ruining the joke here?
You just blew my ears.
Oh, sorry. And I'm drinking Fanta, though.
What? You spoil the magic there, Renato.
I'm a Macross Fanta.
Oh, jeez.
Decado baby.
No.
See, the mic wants to face me. This guy's much more interesting.
Anyway. So, yes, welcome to another episode of Macross Speaker Podcast, and as always, we're jumping straight into the news. Let's news, gentlemen. Well, you know, it's funny. As we were saying earlier, a bunch of news got announced literally the day, or within the week after we recorded the last cast, but look, there is some big, big news, which isn't as new as... new news as it was, but it's big regardless, and that is that there is a Blu-ray disc box set for the Frontier movies, the 30th Shooting Star box. Now, we're not supposed to pronounce the D in front of Shooting Star, are we, Renato?
No.
Because, you know, it says Shooting Star with the D and the B?
Those are supposed to be Thumbs Up, I thought.
Thumbs Up. Okay, so it's the Thumbs Up Shooting Star.
But it's not really Shooting Star either. Shooting Star.
Shooting Star.
Right?
So this box set will include, of course... the first two Frontier movies. Adrian, you remember the titles of those?
Let's see. We have... what is it? You mean the Japanese titles or the English titles?
The English titles.
Oh, the English titles. Well, we have Macross, F, the movie version, The False Songstress, and then I believe it should be titled Macross Frontier, or Macross F, the movie version...
What is this?
The Wings.
Suspense?
Yeah. Oh, it should be titled The Wings of Farewell.
Right. The correct titles, in my opinion. So, it's a three-disc box set. Those are on two of the discs. The third disc is still kind of a mystery. It's a hybrid disc, which, of course, previous movies were, and hybrid normally denotes there being a PlayStation 3 game on the disc. This time around, they're talking about some kind of way to... use the PlayStation 3 to specially play or use parts of the movie. It's kind of really not clear at the moment what it will do. And a bunch of extras, and of course then there's physical extras, there's a 100-page setting document book, there's a 100-page illustration book, and all this will cost you before pre-order bonus, pre-order discounts. A grand total of 14,800 yen DVD and 16,800 yen Blu-ray. However, it's probably, at the very least at this point, the Blu-ray that you'd want to focus on, because according to the TV commercial that came out for this, the commercial, the Blu-ray edition at least does have English subtitles. Slow clap, Jonas, slow clap. Why is this a big thing?
Because nothing has ever had official dub subtitles before.
Dub titles, what?
Dub titles.
Dubstep.
Mm. Well, Macross Plus Movie did.
Yeah.
So, well, oh. I suppose, because, and we'd never confirmed this, right? But the Macross Plus Blu-ray subtitles previously existed, apparently, right?
They We've never confirmed this because it's wrong. You made it up, man. What's this? It's,
okay, everyone points at me because I've probably seen everything. So.
What?
Oh, I'm just pretty sure that they existed. There's no record of anybody working on it, and I'm sure the company that's subbing the new DVD didn't work on it. So
there's no evidence for them having previously existed.
Probably just... It could have been just files sitting around since it was subbed by a manga. Who knows?
Like, well, I suppose the point is, the movie had been subtitled in the past, and this is the first new Macross be subtitled in, what, 17 years? 18
something
years?
Like that,
something like that, right?
Well, this is the first one since the Harmony Gold embargo of not letting anything through... Since the manga releases and the U.S. rendition releases. Since that happened, nothing has been brought over, whether it was subbed or translated as a manga. It's all been stopped.
Oh, 14 years.
Something like that.
Either way, it's been a while, and so this is great news. It is very much in line with, you know, Bandai Visual's stuff. They've put, as I think we've mentioned before, English subtitles on a bunch of their recent stuff, from Gundam Unicorn to Yamato 2199, even like the Haruhi TV series box set, Fate Zero, Marduk Scramble, some of the Maruko Magica stuff. This stuff all has English subtitles, so they do... Oh, Ghost in the Shell Arise. They are following this policy where they're cutting out the middleman, initially at least, when it comes to publishing abroad. The hardcore fans can just import the stuff. Anyone who does want to pay Japanese prices can cross their fingers and hope there will be a foreign release at a cheaper price point. In the case of Macross, I do not think
it's going
to
happen. Yeah,
it would surprise anyone to say that this won't happen, but this box set has subtitles and it's there and it's available, and anyone who wants it can import it.
Yeah. Well, going by what you just said about the whole Bandai Visual thing,
mm-hmm.
do you think it was this upcoming DVD box set? Is it following that kind of release, or do you think it's something that somebody just decided to finally put it up there?
I think it's just following a general release pattern, because the precedent's been set, especially for their science fiction titles. Even all the recent Gundam shows, from Unicorn to the Seed Remaster to, what's that one everyone hates? Gundam Age.
Yeah.
Have all had English subtitles on every single volume.
Wait, there is a slight difference here, because this is not a Bandai Visual release, it's Bandai Namco, right?
That ties in with the fact that it's got this hybrid disc, though.
Right,
yeah.
It does. But at the same time, the DVD doesn't have the hybrid disc, and that's also been released by Bandai Namco, isn't it?
I'm presuming that's the publishing deal, but yeah.
Okay, so it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they could.
It's not like they have this set.
No, I'm just saying the precedent is
the precedent
is there.
I'm not saying
there's any great grand necessary scheme.
Yeah.
Like those other releases have an intent for the foreign market, where Macross, they don't really have an incentive to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's more of a gamble to actually pay to have it subbed and see if they get any return on it.
Fair enough.
So I think it's somebody finally just said, let's take a chance, because they could have did it with the TV series box set that just got released a week after the announcement of this DVD.
It's a good point, although that would have been a much bigger investment to test waters with.
They would have got way more money out of that compared to the movie versions, I think. If it was going by, if you sub it, people will buy it.
I would agree that it would be a bigger risk.
Yeah, I'd agree and it's a bigger risk, yeah.
If it works out, then it would be what you're saying, yeah. Like a bigger return. But
I think there's more fans are willing to take a risk on an unknown foreign product.
Yeah.
With like, you know, $100 to $150 range than they are with a TV box set, which in this case was $250 to $300.
It's not even a case of it being unknown, really. Because, well, there are we're going to talk about later. You
there
know,
are people who are fans of these IPs who try to import who have never imported before. This is not aimed at anime fans per se. It's like I came across a lot of fans with Yamato 2199 asking me, how do I import Blu-rays from, what is this, Amazon Japan? How do I use this? Because they'd been Star Blazers fans for years, and the thought of importing Japanese releases because of no subtitles had never occurred to them. And then when 2199 came out, that all changed. Most people I knew who imported, this is just personally, who imported 2199 had never imported Japanese discs before.
What, they never heard of CD Japan?
No.
Really?
No.
Guess that's just the old guard.
Everything, Star Blazers stuff, even the movie box set was released abroad, subtitled, so... Yeah, I think this will be a risk to a lot of people who hadn't previously given, even if they know about it, just the barrier of entry that the price puts
cheap.
Up there. This is kind of more affordable and...
sort of.
Relatively. Well, how much was that August box set again, Renato?
50,000 yen.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. But they're entitled to it because they bought the VHSs.
Yeah,
You paid your dues.
So that is coming out May? It's the one thing I've forgotten to make.
No,
March.
It is coming out in May.
It comes out May.
March is the end of the pre-orders.
Okay. Thank you, sir. We have the pamphlet right here. Yes, sir. And yeah, it is confusing, Richard, because they put the pre-order cutoff bigger.
Right.
Than the actual release date.
Richard, I remember you writing that online somewhere, and I thought to correct you, but I never bothered. Sorry, man.
Sorry, having said this, where is the release date on here?
May, but...
No, it's March, yeah. March 15th. Look how small the release date...
May 15th.
Oh, yes, thank you.
So
yes,
the order
May
cutoff 15th. Date is...
March 15th, yeah. And the sale, the release date is...
May 15th. May 15th.
You see what I mean, Renato? Even on the flyers,
Yeah, why is it so tiny? No, if you look on the homepage, it's pretty big.
We'll get to it later, but we went to the latest, or shall I, Macross, where they actually had some of the... mock-up of the box set there. But so that is really big news. I can't state strongly enough how huge this is. I mean, we can only hope that this, coupled with the possibly pre-existing subtitles on the Plus box set... will lead to more such releases in the future.
And I hope the subtitles on this one are better than the subtitles for the Plus.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, didn't you think...
Well, who knows?
Wasn't there, like, at that time, the announcement... Because this was announced midweek.
Yep.
And you were saying, hey, on Friday, I was looking up the Macross... official Macross fan club news bulletin that comes in every Friday, and nothing came in that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they announced, then that bulletin came out on a Wednesday.
Yep.
So then you went, looked at the information, and then you needed a magnifying glass to see that it actually said it had subtitles.
Yeah, I had to really blow up a bad resolution YouTube video.
Yeah, because they're not really promoting that it has subtitles.
No,
it's just we are. yeah, because there's even on here this
the flyer.
The flyer. There's no mention of subtitles. I don't think.
Yeah, but that kind of it's not like they're hiding it or anything. Yeah. I don't know why they would advertise it. They certainly didn't advertise the fact that the Macross Plus Blu-ray had subtitles.
They
as well.
Did advertise the fact it had the international version.
No, but that's. Because it's been an international release before.
Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah.
There are a few people I have seen online that have voiced concerns about it being perhaps similar to that Macross Plus subtitle, and so therefore, they're wary about ordering this. But the problem is that you got to get your order in early, right? So
right, although I can't see Amazon or well, the first problem is since there's a hybrid disc in there, you can't order from Amazon,
right?
Because it gets classified as a game. I don't think it's made to order, or that it's going to sell out all that quick.
It says Studio Gente.
I know, but they said that for the TV box as well.
I think they use a different expression.
They use a different term. They say it's the like manufacturing period is limited.
Yeah, that's not the same as saying the number that we are going to produce is limited. This one is clearly more limited. There are different ranks of...
of limitedness. Right. Yeah. So you're saying people should... take the gamble and order regardless.
I don't think it's a gamble. I think it will be done pretty well. I don't know what happened with that Macross Plus stuff, because you keep saying that they're old, but bromance is not a 90s phrase.
True.
So, I don't know.
Well, I think also, but Renato, it's good to mention that of all the other, even though they're Bandai Visual releases, I'm going to presume they're probably using the same team for these subtitles. Their subtitles have all been terrific. Native speaker.
Yeah, there's precedent there. Right?
Yeah, right. They're technically correct. They're grammatically correct.
The Macross Plus is much more of an outlier than anything else.
Well, going on the thing about the subs, because at the same time, yeah, I saw people were saying that on the Macross World forums. Like, is it going to have bromance? Or,
yeah.
There's going to be missing dialogue.
Dumb ask.
Yeah, dumb ask. Missing subs.
There's a civilian on the YF-21?
What?
There's a civilian on the YF-21? Jeez. That's a line there.
Oh, I didn't go through it, so...
I took a screen cap of most of the more ridiculous ones.
So, at that same time, because it was also announced on ANN, which, if it's on an ANN post, it turns into a forum post.
Yeah.
That same discussion went on between just anime fans.
Yeah.
That, so, whether they bought it or they heard about it, and it's known that that sub was kind of off. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was terrible, I'd just say it's off.
Hmm.
And that subject got brought up, like, oh, I don't know, should I drop the money, should I do this?
Exactly, yeah, it's...
And then Sam Panansky, the guy that runs Anime Souls, and is in charge of a team of translators.
Who, yeah.
He jumped on and basically kind of said, or I should probably look it up, I'm not going to quote it, but I should have looked it up.
Paraphrase.
Yeah, I'm just paraphrasing, is... I'm pretty sure you guys won't have to worry about that problem happening on this disc.
Okay.
And then somebody was just kind of like, oh, thanks, and it kind of went on. And then he went in again and chimed in again, basically saying, well, you can thank so-and-so for basically getting this done because of this event that happened in France, which was Japan Expo, because they screened
Wings of Farewell?
Wings of Farewell there with English subs, but...
As opposed to French subs.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. So even he's kind of gone in and kind of give a reassurance of, that's really not going to happen here, but he hasn't said he worked on it.
Not outright, but I think the assurances are there, the precedent is there, and we can keep our fingers crossed that this may lead to more in the future, although to those folks I have seen saying like, well, obviously now there's going to be... subtitles on Macross games in the future. No, completely different process, even if it's still Bandai Namco.
Yeah.
It is a lot easier to get subtitles on anime than it is games, and even anime it's different.
Well, there is that, and also, what else can they do now? You can take the interpretation that it can open some floodgates, right? It sets precedent.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they've brought everything out on Blu-ray. No one's going to rebuy that stuff now.
They haven't brought Macross 2 on Blu-ray.
Oh! Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that one. I honestly did completely forget about it. Don't worry! It will have perfect subtitles and the much-loved dub as well.
We can only hope. I mean, that's what I would want.
I mean, if they knew anything about culture...
More than hope.
I think, again, Renato, to speak to precedence...
I know they re-released...
Well, if you look at the pattern with the other titles that have come out, they didn't put English subtitles on anything that's past a certain age because there tend to be IP entanglements there.
Yeah.
Right? So none of the old Gundam or Gundam Zeta or Turn A Gundam on Blu-ray, the movies, got English subs. But everything from Seed onwards pretty much did. So again, here, if we're looking to the future... fingers crossed.
You're talking about like new macro series that might be made.
Yeah.
Right. That one about the Destroids and all those things that people want to see, right?
The gritty war drama with the Destroids.
The Supervision Army and the Destroids that all the kids are going to love.
Well, that will definitely have to be catered to the foreign market because no one's going to buy that shit up here. So yeah, no, they'll forego the English the Japanese language altogether and just do it all in English. But it's still live action. Why not?
All right, I got his post right here. Let me read it to you guys. So Samuel P. In response was, "I wouldn't worry about the quality of the subs on the movies." And then he came back and posted, "You can credit this to Satellite for pushing for that screening for the second movie at Japan Expo in Paris last year in honor of Kawamori being the guest. That's what got the ball rolling."
Hmm.
Okay.
So obviously he's on the inside.
Yeah.
So
if you're on the fence, put the money down because I think it's a pretty good value deal. 16,000 for three discs, and you got a...
Well, there'll be, you know, probably knock a good 1,000 yen at least off that with pre-orders.
Maybe, yeah. But, like, you got 200-page books and a bunch of other stuff, and it sounds
three discs, yeah. Mm. Another box that won't fit on my bookshelf or whatever.
And this is the same team, this is the same subbing team and company that did the Yamato 2199 mm-hmm. subs. Mm. Because I know he said he's worked on that.
Yeah,
he's done a couple other things.
Been interviewed on that.
And what would you say? How were those subs?
Those subs, I mean, I've come across a couple of tiny nitpicks, but as always, there is no such thing as a perfect translation. The subs were fully functional. They flowed fine. They sound like a native speaker wrote them. There were no glaring errors.
Oh. So. Well, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'll buy it.
And bear in mind here that Renato is recommending it, and he doesn't even like the movies.
What, not good. Even his background noise, point. Renato?
Yeah, background noise, him. Muzak.
Very, very good point.
Yeah.
The
first disc you can just use as a frisbee. I don't know.
Well, sure. You guys finally have another matching box that you can put next to your original Macross
TV box. So I won't have to rebuy it. There you go.
Because, yeah, we saw the preliminary design of the books, and they're thick.
They are thick, They look more than 100 pages, but maybe it's just glossy stock. Who knows?
I'm not sure. But it's what? Settings and...
And there's illustrations.
Illustrations.
So probably...
And they're about,
they're chunky.
Over an inch thick.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So...
Right. But unfortunately, it appears that for every piece of groundbreaking new news got everyone excited like these subtitles on his Blu-ray, there's something that is not so positive,
exciting.
Not so exciting, not so good. And that would be...
Well, depending on how you look at it.
That would be the fact that Megumi Nakajima has announced... She is putting her singing career on hiatus, and if that sounds like it's worded rather vaguely, it's because it was.
No.
Now, this was announced back in late November, right after we recorded last.
the day after.
That she was retiring from singing or going on hiatus.
Which is just
the
word, we wouldn't have been able to talk about it. I had to get back home. I left her in the last
minute.
Yeah. And basically, she is wrapping up. Her final album comes out on the 26th of February, and her final gig is on March 20. Now, there's been no reason given as to why she's doing this, and she is remaining a voice actress for now, at least.
Yeah,
she's just been announced.
And she's still
going to
be singing as
not necessarily
like for anime.
Well, not necessarily.
Well,
I mean, in that case, she wouldn't be retiring as a singer.
I'd heard that she was still going to.
She's going to be in the new Precure.
Yes.
But not in a singing capacity, of course.
But that was announced like 2 or 3 weeks after, and everyone was kind of like, "What does it mean, retire? Like, she's retiring from everything?" Or she was in a series, like a Moe series right now,
mm-hmm.
and it mentioned that she would finish that, but it was kind of like. More of a limbo of where she was going to do after that,
mm-hmm.
and everyone kind of assumed singing and anime voicing.
But yeah, she is continuing with the voice acting. But like Richard, you could be correct if they do a Macross 35th anniversary crossover live.
No,
maybe,
but I thought
she'll bring
doing
her back.
Like a theme song for something. I don't know.
I'm
just crazy. Okay,
but, I mean, has this happened? with any other idols in the past that have done this? That, like, just did something, dropped off the radar, came back under a different name? Or, because I know a lot of times idols, their names changes from one to another for some kind of reason.
Well, so. I mean, in the case of Macross, you have, you know, both Cheer and Murray dropped off the radar pretty soon after their Macross careers.
Is it the Macbeth curse? The Macross curse?
The Scottish play, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, it could be the curse of Macross. Who knows? There's been no reason given. Although, look, this is completely hypothetical, but they released a Blu-ray trailer for her, what's going to be her last Blu-ray, and Richard and I watched this trailer earlier.
Yeah.
And it struck me how much deeper her voice has gotten. I'm wondering maybe...
She's hit puberty.
Yeah, she just can't do the songs as like she used to. I don't know. I was kind of blown away, but she sounded completely different in these live performances. But look, here's hoping that... Because I'm sure there's going to be roles for her in a voice acting capacity in every Super Robot game... Super Robot Wars game, and all these cross, like, she's got roles as Ranka that could go on, you know, for the rest of her life, pretty much. Hopefully she'll come back and do some songs in that role again. But for now, March 20th is the last anyone will get to see her perform live. I don't have tickets for that. I'm going to try to get in somehow, but we shall see. But so, whatever the reason may be, I hope, you know, Megumi's in good health and that there's a logical reason behind all this.
Better not be marriage.
Because then you will not have a chance? Is that what you're saying to me?
No.
Because then she joined the ranks of Iander. Oh, I said it!
The rankers of Iander.
Right.
March 20th is also the anniversary of the passing of Fushiguro Noboru. So.
So
very bittersweet date there.
That's, yeah. So you tell me she's going to die at the gig?
No, I'm not.
Is there anything going to go on for that? Is 1 year anniversary? I mean, is this be gatherings or anything like that?
There is a gathering, actually. I'm not sure how open it is.
Yeah. Well, it's not for me to go, but I'm figuring you probably would.
Well, I've been invited.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, well, you want a report on that?
No.
In a tasteful way.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's move it on, because Macross the Museum, folks, is back. Now, before you stop and think, wow, we went all the way to Hyogo for nothing, this time, we can go all the way to Miyagi for nothing.
You can go all the way to Miyagi.
Mr. Miyagi.
Oh, just want to throw this in really quick, because we didn't do our due diligence last time and look up the member's name. Who was there with us?
Oh, right.
That was, and Howard, the gentle soul he is, went on the forums and yelled at us in a way. So that was Jefferson, Macross World member. Jefferson was the one we were saying, the French guy. And we weren't trying to say it that way, like we didn't care who he was. We just didn't remember his name. But I do want to say, museum's coming back, and the person who was with us, they got to go to the signing and got to go to everything. That was Jefferson, and I hope he's listening. So
yeah, it is back, and this time around, again, we're going to have the cockpit again. And it's going to run from March 15th, which is a Saturday, to July 6th, which is a Sunday. Now, basically, it's going to be a touring event by the look of it. There had been rumors that it was going to be moved elsewhere this year, so this is what those rumors were referring to. I was hoping it would come to Tokyo, but because you'd think, you know, there's the biggest potential fan base here, but I suppose they're trying to milk the fans for all they can first, get them to go
no, wait
around everyone.
I mean, it is certainly that to a certain extent, but it has a lot to do with that area being part of the restoration. You know, it's in the Tohoku region, right? Mm-hmm. Which was hit by that tidal wave and the earthquake and everything. And so the local government is pushing for a lot of tie-ups, such as this one, mm-hmm. To get tourists into the region, right? So, yes, it makes sense in a way to take advantage of all the Macross fans that are based in Kanto to do the show in Kanto. But if you do that, and then go to Ishinomaki, Miyagi Prefecture, you know, you're not going to get as many people going there. They're like, oh, I've seen it because I went to the Tokyo one.
So it makes sense to go to a lot of different places before coming this one. And I might... Are you guys planning to go again?
I will work out a date to go. I'm waiting for announcements on whether there's a talk show or something.
So this one, this is at the... You know, if you remember last time, it was at the Osamu Tezuka Museum in Takarazuka, right? This one is in the Ishinomori Shotaro Museum. Now, Ishinomori Shotaro is almost as important as Tezuka.
That's what I was going to say about that. They really do seem to be picking these venues to try to like build up.
Well, they're doing it in consortium with them, yeah.
Right.
So that's one I haven't been to yet, and I haven't been to the Tohoku region since the thing hit. Anyway, so it might actually be interesting to take you know, maybe even a couple of days out and take a look around. I've been to the Takarazuka one already, so. You know, I didn't feel like going there. Yeah, I went to
where?
Tezuka-san. Takarazuka, you can say it. It's a recognized city. I don't understand.
Okay.
Kyogo, did you go to Kobe? Did you go to, what, Amagasaki?
We've done this, Renato. We've done this. We did it a year ago.
Obviously, it had no effect. And so, we're going to do it again, because Miyagi is fairly big, but this is in Ishinomaki City, right?
Ishinomaki. Well, Ishinomori is definitely an important figure. Among... other things, the Cyborg 009 series.
Common.
Or Hikaru wearing a pop costume. Snap, crackle, and
so
pop.
That is Cyborg 009, Joe, yeah. In the cockpit, in the promotional piece that was released. And one thing I love about these tie-ups is the way they work the characters into these art pieces. Like, you had the Ribbon Knight with Ranker and Cheryl at the Tezuka.
Yeah, that was a good picture.
It was really nice. This time, hopefully, we're going to have some more 009 themed
illustrations. You didn't see Astro Boy inside the cockpit. I would have seen that.
He already was in Wings of Farewell. What more do you want?
This past November, I think it was, between after summer and just before Christmas, they had that art exhibit here in Tokyo where it's like Tezuka and Cyborg 009 kind of art. And Tengen put in an art piece in there. Of Adam in the Cyborg outfit.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see him.
Yeah, it kind of went under the radar. He gave me a ticket to go
all
check it out.
All these things go under the radar.
Yeah, so okay. I think a lot of this stuff has just been trickling down. It's all pre-planned. Ever since the last movie, they've kind of put in all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
There were obviously links with the Tezuka stuff prior to the exhibit, but the Ishinomori thing is was new to me. I was surprised. Mm-hmm. But just very rough, very quick pop quiz, Renato. If this was to become a trend, right? So they say before they don't bring to Tokyo after this, they go to somewhere
next
else.
Stop, right?
Where? What artist would you like to see? Or dead or alive, would you like to see a collaboration, like a tie-up?
Salvador Dali. Come on, you know I'm right. The mustache. You can have a Captain Global.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for a better answer.
What? No, moving on.
All right.
Leiji Matsumoto?
So, yeah, well, I think that would be great, but.
I think that would be too obvious.
Yeah
that's. Yeah, I think it would be. I think it would be great, but. You know.
But, the guy who did Golgo 13? That would be an interesting one.
He just did Golgo 13, though.
Yeah.
It's kind not, of again. It's not like the world.
Yeah.
Of,
like,
what's his name?
Tetsuo Ohara, whatever. The,
I forgot his name, damn it.
The guy.
Saito.
Saito, yeah. Saito what? Jeez, man, I'm gonna.
Masami Obari tie up, there you go. That Kia was... Asamiya tie up.
There's no Masami Obari museum.
Well, that's what we have to do next.
Yeah.
It'd be shaped like
what
a
prefecture would it be in? Okinawa?
Breast City.
Well, what is it cities now? Is it because it rhymes with... oh, God.
So, just to... before we move on, so apart from the Valkyrie, the exhibit's going to be split into three sections. There's going to be the development and evolution of the Valkyrie, which I'm presuming, there's not all that much way of details at this point, will be much like the previous exhibit where they'll have Yamato and Bandai Valks on the walls. There's going to be a section on the songstresses, which, again, I'm presuming is going to be much like the last one. We had the microphones and the very pixelated picture Sarah. Of Sarah, yeah. And the badly spelt Ishtar. And then
we're getting that fixed.
And then there's going to be the Superdimensional Materials Corner, which is supposed to be a lot of pre-production and production materials, which sounds kind of new. I don't remember that being.
Well, it could be the other half of the Parco exhibit that wasn't there.
Right.
Yeah,
at Takarazuka.
That's a good point. That could be what it is. It could be that they're bringing these exhibits together.
Yoga.
It could be that they're bringing these exhibits together, which will be interesting. But like I said, Renato, I'm waiting to see if there's a talk show or a signing or something announced before making a call on that. But
that's true.
So not related, but 1-to-1 scale related, is I was kind of put on a sort of scavenger hunt in the local area because we live where we're podcasting out of, podcasting, whatever you want to call it. We live in Taitoku, which is right next to Oshiage, where the Sky Tree, and I got sent to go look around there. And they're opening a Chiba Institute of Technology, where they create robots, and there's actually going to be a Tokyo Sky Tree campus. And right now they're running, while they're building this institute there, they have a little exhibit area where you can go and interact with robots. And down the hall, there's this glassed off, double door glass, but they've got like do not cross lines across the glass and two little holes that you can look in. If you look through those holes, you'll find the VF-25 1-to-1 scale hand sitting in there. So it's like, it's just a weird, for whatever reason, it's there. And I guess it's just a promotional piece because it's for the Chiba Institute of Technology. To help promote this little exhibit, and later this month I think the school opens. So
it's like an open day, you mean?
No, they're going to open an institute there.
Okay.
In Sky, well, it's not in the Sky Tree; it's in the building in the Soramachi, eighth floor. So if you go down there, you can see the 1-to-1 scale hand.
Let's do it.
But it's not a Macross thing. There's no mention of Macross, but it's there.
It's just the robotics link.
Yeah. So maybe Chiba Institute is fixing the hand because remember it broke?
Yeah, because something broke it. Yeah.
I didn't break it.
Yeah.
I broke
that. So if you go there, Renato, alarms are going
to
be going off.
That's why there's only the two holes to look at it through. No one can get near it. So moving on, very brief news. Along with the Blu-ray box set for the Macross Frontier movies was a very, very brief announcement of two new smartphone games. Now, I know everyone, like myself, would prefer something else on the PS3 or possibly on the PS Vita. Don't mention the PS4 because Japanese developers are not particularly pumped for the PS4. It's too expensive to design for and no one buys Japanese games anymore. And they have the engine, which was partly subsidized by the hybrid disc packs, on the PS3 that they used for Macross 30. However, we're not getting any of these things, not at this point at least. There's two new smartphone games. Mm. Now, the previous game, the Macross Krusty Culture SP, was a typical card-based grind in-app purchase kind of game. It was not particularly good. It had some nice artwork, which I threw up on the Macross World recently. These two games, these two new ones, one is going to be another card battling game, unfortunately, Macross Card Fighter. I don't know what it's going to be like. However,
is
the second one
to the Crusade thing. That,
no,
how
it's a different license altogether. The second one sounds more interesting to me, and that is Macross Sound Scramble, which is supposed to be some kind of music-based game, which I'm sure they'll charge for extra songs. Yeah, all those people who want to download the Macross 2 opening.
Sounds like it might be just like a music pushing the game.
Yeah, not dissimilar to say the Hatsune Miku games, but a lot simpler. So, either way, I think a music game and Macross is something that's long overdue and was last seen, in the Game Boy Advance game with the boss battles?
Oh, yeah!
Yeah. It's the happiest I've seen Renato all day.
I know, that was South Island.
So, either way, I think the music game is something that could be interesting and something to keep an eye out for. These are both going to come out, as with the last game, on Android devices first and iOS devices second. However, the first one, Macross Card Fighter, was due out by the end of January, so it's already running late. There's been no new news on either of them, but keep an eye on this space.
Wow.
So, Richard, The year's only just begun, and we've already got an announcement of a new Macross album.
Yes. Yes, we do, which is, well, about half of a new Macross album.
Half of a new Macross album.
The Nyankora.
Which stands for...
Nyan Collaboration.
Yeah, Nyankora.
So you've got the Super Dimension duets that were on the Macross F Drama albums... you've got the 15th anniversary single, Friends, which was sung by Marijima and Tomo Sakurai. And you've got a few new songs as well.
Right, so I think that brings us down to about five new songs maybe.
Yeah.
Now, the most interesting one that's been announced that caught my attention was... a recording, I'm not sure if it's a new recording, I'm presuming it's not the live recording, of Imo... Me personally, Imo is far from one of my more popular the macro songs. I'm not a huge fan of Imo, but this is the version with we got the double gnome.
Yes,
we got Mao and Cheryl.
Right.
I think that's something alone worth the price of admission. Speaking of which, as far as albums go, CD prices go in Japan, this is fairly cheap.
Mm.
It's only 2,000 yen, and that's probably because half of the songs have been released previously.
Right.
So it's not a bad price. Comes out March 26th, so keep an eye on wherever you normally import your CDs from.
Yeah, and if you are into physical media, I mean, I think... having all of the Super Dimension duets together in one place is not a bad thing.
Right, and I mean, a lot of them are played for laughs. I think people... A lot of people haven't heard the drama albums.
I certainly hope so.
A lot of these collaborations are played for laughs. You know, we have Remember 16 with Basara and Ranka, which was previously on Ichiban Kuji.
Does Ranka remember 16, though? Is she... How old is she again?
16.
Oh, okay. Hey, remember this year? Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately...
oh, wait, but Milena sang that as well. She hadn't turned 16.
Unfortunately, so. Adrian.
Yes?
Banana Moon.
Oh, Banana Moon, sung by... Where is it at?
Luca Nanase.
Luca Nanase. Well, half of it's going to sound good.
There you go.
Which one?
Banana Moon.
No, which half?
Well, my,
I don't know, man. You're the one.
My joke before was that I, like, with the Super Dimension duets for the drama albums, was that I always said, yeah, they should, Luca and Nanase should do Sun to You.
Well, the next song should.
Well, make to answer Renata's question, that would be the double D side of the album.
speaking of which, third on the track list is going to be Runner, which is a big Clan version.
Yes.
Which
was also on the Ichiban Kuji disc.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's a good version, surprisingly.
Better than the Mini Clan version from the Super Dimension duets.
Definitely, yeah. It just sounds... Her singing voice is the Big Clan is really good, I think.
Huh.
So we also have Uchu Fufukan, which is Wilder and Monica. Zero G Love with Grace and Leon. Totsugeki,
which is from the...
Totsugeki Love Heart with Osmer and Kathy.
Xiaopai and Bobby.
Long. Oh, yeah. Xiaopai Long with Alto and Brera. Imo, which is Mao and Cheryl.
Imo.
Lion, which is Big Clan and Small Clan. That sounds amazing. And then Friends, Jiku Okoete, which is Minmay and Milan. Not sure what they're doing with that version. Whether it's going to be the exact same thing or a new recording.
Oh, I'm sure it's the same recording.
But, so anyways, 2,000 yen, some new Macross music. Not a bad way to start the new year.
Yeah.
Bernardo, if I asked you to say Haruka Chizuka, how would you say it?
Haruka Chizuka.
That's the version where she has brandy on the rocks and a cigar sitting back in a smoking jacket.
That's the jazzy kind of like horse voice kind of.
Yeah, it's funny because Adrian actually mentioned to Tenjin recently how... Did you say we always refer to her or Renato?
No, we were walking around.
In a drunken stupor, right?
In a drunken stupor, off of like 0% beer, right? Yeah. Free beer, what do they call that? The zero.
Yeah, the zero free.
Alcohol free here, zero free. Oh, we're walking around and he was asking if I was going to go to the fan club event. Because he's going to be one of the speakers.
One of the speakers, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's me, so-and-so, and Haruka. And I'm like, oh, you mean Haruka Chizuka. You did that. I said, that's the way we choose to remember her name. And he goes, that's good. That works. That works.
It does work.
It does work. Yeah.
It does work.
So Haruka Chizuka has a new single coming out. Now this is not really Macross related, but
it's not important news.
It's not important news, no. But I thought it was interesting because after the Miss Macross contest, she hasn't gotten any more work. So she's finally got
I'm sure she's doing something.
She's
not
finally,
as an artist, so.
No.
She's finally got a new single coming out, and she's going to be appearing at, as you mentioned, the upcoming event.
I mean, a music artist, yes, but not as an actual illustrator, because we've seen her artwork. It's scary.
Oh.
Her artwork.
From the online event?
Yeah, they all had it. She had to draw Valkyrie one time on the Nico Nico Doga
event
stream. And it was like, what? That's a Eva unit. That's not a Valkyrie. And then they said, draw Leon. And
she drew a
psychotic mushroom. Looking mushroom.
Which gave me nightmares.
Yeah.
So, she's got a new single coming out. Hopefully this leads to more...
Maybe she's designing the cover.
With a mushroom on it.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about Haruka Chizuka that I realized, Renato, and Richard and I talked about this previously, but I suppose because she's one of the few Macross-related artists as of late, and I realized her Macross, the relation to Macross can be rather tenuous at best, she's not coming off having songs... composed by Kano Yoko.
Yeah.
So, like, her songs for Macross 30 were composed by a pretty famous Hatsune Miku composer. But, so her new single, from what I've heard of it, doesn't sound all that different from her old stuff. I mean, I think, Richard, you mentioned you went through this as well, but when we went to the initial release solo albums of Main and Megumi, post-Frontier, they weren't bad, they just were nowhere near Yoko Kanno quality.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas Haruka Chizuka, granted, this is like her third or fourth song, but so far it just seems like, more equal level. It never hit those heights, but still, it sounds like her, it's fun. Yeah, so I'm going to pick up the single.
Well, you watched the video, right? We all watched the video. The video that was like a minute and a half or so.
YouTube. The one that was, like I said, like being on the teacup ride at Disneyland.
Okay, so this was clearly a shoestring budget kind of deal.
Mm.
Looks like it was recorded with a handycam or something.
Yeah, but...
Then again, so was Cheers film clips.
So was Megumi's debut, the Be Myself video, which was just her in a room with a hat.
But that hat was the stuff of nightmares.
I don't know. It seems like it seems very amateurish to me. I don't think I can fault her for that either, because as I said, I don't know the live streaming Nico Doga thing that you guys were talking about. I'm probably referring to the first one where they brought out the prototype of the Max Factory figure.
Oh, that was the Wonder Festival broadcast.
Yeah, when I saw her on that, she looked like she was really, you know, just a kid in a candy store almost, like, you know, talking to all these people and like, oh, I can't believe that I'm, you know, speaking to Maine and like looking at this figure and talking about Macross and stuff. And she still gives off this vibe. And in a way, it's good, and in a way, it's not professional. So it's just kind of how you see that. In Japan, it really works quite well, I think, because they have a long tradition of idols not being
professional,
you know,
professional.
Not being professional standard, right?
Not having a polished persona,
right?
And having quirks, basically.
It's easier for the fans, in particular the otaku-like fans, to root for her, yeah, support and show some enthusiasm.
The irony, of course, is that the non-polished persona has become a persona that takes a lot of work. To maintain.
Yeah. Well, that's why people drop out. Like, right. Ranka. Megumi.
Did you just forget Megumi's name?
Yes, I did. Right. And I still can't remember her surname. What is it?
Nakajima.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. Nakajima Heavy Industries. Is that what. It all comes around full circle. Yeah, it's thermonuclear.
End of the circle? Wait, what? No. Anyway, so, yeah. New single by Haruka Chizuka. Let's move on. So, Adrian.
Yes.
Bandai is milking that YF-29 mold, huh?
Apparently. I didn't even know they were announcing it. And then I heard everybody else got excited. I didn't even Renato got excited.
Oh, no. Wait, I have really? Said from the very beginning, since the second movie came out...
That you don't get excited.
That I wanted this in toy form. Even before the first YF-29 came out. Hmm. Because the movie came out with the game, right? Hybrid Pack. And Macross Last Frontier featured this. And it also featured the Isamu Valkyrie. I mean, it says Macross 30 on the box, but these are actually originally from that Hybrid Pack game.
Okay.
Hybrid Disc.
So it was announced in the monthly toy magazines.
Have we even talked about what it is? Have we mentioned
it? No,
it's, well, you know, everyone forgot about the Isamu recoloring last time, but... There is. It's the fourth version of the YF-29. There's the movie version. Four. There was the 30th anniversary Fokker coloring version.
Oh, right.
There was the Isamu version, and now we've got the Ozma version. Yeah. So it's the fourth version. Yeah, right. They are milking that mold, and it's very black.
Hmm. Yeah, as it should be, because that's what it looks like in the game.
So what is it about this that appeals to you, Renato?
Why I don't know. It's just got a bearable color scheme, I guess.
I would agree with Renato, because it hides that heavy ass that it has. It slims it down, just like black does with every...
Doesn't it just remind you of those anniversary Yamato Volks that were black and gold?
It does a little bit.
No.
It's not completely black, really. It's a dark charcoal gray.
Yeah.
That picture is not very good. If you look at it in the game, you can see that there's different shades in there.
So it does look nice, I think.
So you are picking it up, is what you're telling me, Renato?
No, I'm not, because...
Wait,
we had this discussion the other day. Yeah. He can't buy it under the condition he wants to purchase it.
Which no, is. I want to pay what it's worth.
No, you said you want to be able to go into a toy store and physically pick it up and go and buy it.
That is what I said. That is what I said. But that's also just because... What's the recommended recoil price, the MSRP?
76,000 yen.
No, right. It is 18,360. So
18,360? Really? Yeah.
That's not what you'd pay for, but that's the recommended.
It says on the magazine it's 17,000.
No, I'm looking at the official site. So
that must be before tax.
Before tax, right.
Yeah, because that whole tax thing's gone.
That's right. It's gone up. Yeah. Tax has gone up
from April. It's going up to 8%. So that's good.
No, it's not.
I know. I'm being sarcastic. Remember, I didn't put the sarcastic tabs on. So
I wish he would. Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, I love it. Yeah. So the problem with this is that, as usual, the Bandai pre-orders go up. And they're taken down minutes later. I am one of the many, many, many people who did not get in that pre-order window. And so the next time I logged onto, or rather just brought up the Amazon.jp page, it's 33,000, which is twice, almost. So I think I don't want it that badly. it would be nice if we were back in 2003 where I could walk into Sakuraya in Shinjuku and walk in and, you know, say, I'll have that, please. Thank you very much. Take it to the cashier, pay my cash, bring it back home.
Now, having said that, that's not what I asked you. I asked you if
will you be picking it up?
Quiet.
No, you said, will you be picking
that's
it up?
That's the presumption that you can get it at a regular price, which in Japan, you will be able to.
No.
If you order online, you won't be able to. Yeah, you will. Even today.
Because, well, if you give me advice on how to do that, then yes, gladly I will pick it up.
I've given advice on this show many times. Because when they released the original YF-29, we went to the store in Ikebukuro and I picked up 9 of them.
I know, I remember that.
Yeah, I said to you. Yeah.
Yeah, so we met earlier this week, Adrian and I. And over burgers. Apparently the best burgers in town.
That's right. Hongo Sancho.
You went there?
Firehouse?
Firehouse.
Yeah. Great place.
Oh, maybe I should note for the record that I found a toy shop in Hongo Sancho that Adrian didn't know about. For the first time in the history of mankind, I knew something.
I work in Hongo Sancho.
We don't need this podcast anymore, Adrian. You've been bested.
Well, it's an import toy shop. It's got G.I. Joes and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. It's got stuff I could care less about.
You're right. You can't pick up Osmo YF-29s in there, certainly.
So it's like that one in Ebisu.
Yes.
A lot smaller.
Okay.
Is it a Monster Japan?
Well, the difference between this release
and G.I. Joe's
and the last two is this one is in a Tamashii Nations exclusive. This is direct retail.
Yeah, and in the olden days, if it's an exclusive, you would be hard-pressed to put an order in and do everything. But now, the exclusive actually guarantees that you get something because the pre-order window is set, right? Yeah. Just like that Macross Frontier Blu-ray box, it's got a cutoff date. So if you get your pre-order before that cutoff date, they will make it for you, and made to order, basically. Now, this is not that. Why is this not that? I have no idea.
Yeah, I assumed it was going to be a Tamashii Nations.
Given what a niche color scheme and it is, I would expect so as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the Isamu one.
One should have been like direct sales to the store, and this fits more of a Tamashii Web like limited, I think.
Well, because of that, I'm like not interested in paying over that.
But
I don't want it that much. It's not like a holy grail for me.
Yeah,
I could, you know, there would be other items which, even if the price went up, I would think yes, that's worth it. I can't think of any right now, but there have been in the past, and this is not one of them. This is like if I can get hold of it, then I will. If not, then I don't mind. That's okay. You know, I can go. I don't know exactly when is it released. It says May, but does it say the date?
No, it just says May.
Like as soon as we know, you know, I suppose you'll be there at the Ikebukuro store.
Well, the Ikebukuro store will announce it on their blog the night before.
Sometimes they don't have it, right?
But sometimes they don't get the stock till Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then you're lucky because then you could run down and actually get it.
Hmm.
Well, that's actually what happened with the original 29. Is everyone looked, it wasn't posted.
Yeah.
People went in the morning. They went in the morning and they just had the other stock that was announced. They left and they opened the store. If there's a line, they'll open the store as early as like 8 a.m. And everyone was there at 8 a.m. and it wasn't there. People bought their list. They left. They came in at 10 o'clock. And then Peter happened to go there and Peter messaged me saying they just came in.
But even that sounds like ridiculous hoops to jump through. Don't you think?
I mean, for Peter. So he sat there in the back of the store holding like two of them.
Yeah, that's true. He
was like those guys giving him dirty looks. He's there with a bat.
By the time we got there, the shelf was empty and he's just there. Yeah, guys, can you buy these?
I mean, you're either paying 33,000 yen or you're paying with your sanity. You know, so.
Yeah, but at a discount.
There's a limit. At a discount.
It is discounted. It was basically I was paying the pre-order price on the day it was released.
I think everyone knows what the YF-29 looks like by now, and everyone's seen these pictures by now, so, you know, okay, this is what that is, and this is the current situation. We are going to talk about the prices and situation related to that later on, so this is going to lead into that.
Okay.
So anything related to this
one? I mean, I think I won't be picking up because I have the previous 329s. I don't know how I ended up with them.
Oh, you have all three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have the boxes for them. You don't know what's inside. You've never checked.
regardless. And that's just a nice number. I like three of them. There's one for each mode. I don't need a fourth, even though it looks cool. And yeah, this is the most expensive paint scheme as well.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm not that sold on it. I've got the Fokker version and the Isamu version.
Do you think it's just more expensive because the tax has gone up, or is it actually?
It must be the tax has gone up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello. What is your name and where are you from?
Yeah, I'm Yukari Izumi. I'm from Japan.
And do you know Macross?
Yeah, but I know only Macross F. Only
Macross Frontier.
Yeah, Frontier only.
Any other Macross?
No, I know Macross songs, but I don't know story.
Ah, so do you know My Soul for You? My Soul for You. Neki Basara.
Utattara.
Ah, yeah, okay. I know.
Ah, Dynamite?
Yeah, I know his song, and I like his song, but I don't know his story.
So, what is interesting about Frontier?
Maybe I think I like Cheryl. I like Cheryl, but I don't like Lanka. I like their love battle. Oh.
Their love triangle for Alto.
Yeah. I like Cheryl. だから本当なんだろう。I feel Lanka's doing. I hate she.
You really hate Lanka. Yeah.
Why?
She's so very girlish and very pure. Maybe I think that girls don't like Lanka.
So Cheryl is very strong, powerful.
Yeah, strong, powerful, and she has an she's mine, and she has very big love heart. Maybe she like Lanka. Cheryl like Lanka. Lanka have jealous for Cheryl. Cheryl is a so big star. But Cheryl have Lanka little jealous heart, but she can close jealousy for Lanka. She can close. So she's so cool.
So do you like any mecha from Macross Frontier? Mechanical. Or just character?
Just character. Mecha is for only world making.
Okay. Right. World building.
World building, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, who is your favorite male character?
Male.
Alto?
Ah.
Mihail?
No!
Luca? Ozma? Barrera?
Yeah, I hate Alto.
Why?
He's a Yuju Fran.
Indecisive.
Who do you like?
Mihail.
Kakkoi ne.
Kakkoi.
Megane.
Megane mo sou da shi. Mihail kakkoi ne. Aruto wa hetare da kara ne. Hetare na.
It's like useless.
Most foreign fans that are guys don't like alto. So foreigners don't like alto. He's okay. I think alto.
I don't like that.
What is the best Cheryl song?
難しい。でも。
イテザ? Diamond Crevice.
Diamond Crevice is a good song. Yeah.
I like Yosei.
Demo, Iteza is a very feel like big star song.
Right. Huge impact. Big impact.
Yeah, big impact.
Subject of toy news then, let's move on to our first event report, such that it is, which is going to be Wonderfest 2014 Winter, which just happened last weekend.
Walking in a winter wonderfest.
Yes. That's exactly what it was.
Hang on, drink this for you.
Wait, what's snowing?
Oh, yes. Oh, shit.
Yeah, the day before Wonderfest, now I didn't go, but I was talking to... I was talking to Adrian a couple nights before, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to...
No, that was the night before Wonderfest.
It was the night before, yeah. That was right. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to Wonderfest tomorrow. And all day that Saturday, it had been snowing really a lot.
I would say it went from snowing to a blizzard at around 6 p.m.
Yeah.
In many areas of Japan, or in Tokyo, I should say, was the greatest snowfall they had in up to 60 years. In this area, we had 27 centimeters. I heard some areas had up to 60 centimeters. It was a kind of record-breaking huge snowfall, which no one was really expecting. And it messed everything up. Everything. When you get to the point that Domino's Pizza puts out a call saying, we will not be doing deliveries tonight. If you want to come and pick up your pizza, be our guest if you make it here.
Yeah.
But we are not delivering, so that's pretty big.
The following day, though, the Domino's Pizza near my house did a 1,000 yen pickup.
Trying to increase business because they lost their Saturday they night.
And the really sad thing is that the girl who was advertising this by standing in a road intersection in a... What's that character from One Piece, which has the... Is it like a moose thing with the little red
chopper?
Hat?
Chopper.
Yeah. She was in a chopper costume.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Holding up this giant placard saying...
Well, there's a tie-up or something happening, right?
Maybe.
Collaboration.
Maybe it's just a stand-up. Well, she was standing there in the snow.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that.
No. As Richard was saying, and as we all experienced, it was snowing, and everyone stayed home, pretty much. Unless you were me. I went walking around Akiba. And then I picked up two Domino's pizzas on the way in, so... We did get Domino's. But the next morning was Wonderfest, and there none of the train lines were stopped, but they were not running any rapids.
Some were stopped.
Not going to Wonderfest. I'm not talking about all the trains. I'm just going to Wonderfest. Okay. None of the trains were stopped. They were just running really behind, and all rapids were canceled. So it took about an hour to get to Wonderfest, depending on what time you left.
It took longer for me, yeah. When I got there, it was 30 to 40 minutes before any train in the station actually pulled out, and then it took 45 to 50 minutes when a rapid was 30 minutes. So it took forever to get there, and when I got there, they were using the side door to get people in because the front steps were all covered, yeah, buried in snow. The dome, the very iconic dome of Makuhari Messe, the hall, was half covered in snow.
Hmm.
And there was, I mean, the trains were crammed, packed, because there weren't many of them. But when I got to Wonderfest, it's like, there's not that many people here.
Now, I got there, I had a pass to get in, a circle pass to actually go behind one of the tables to help. I got there about 9:30, and that's the cutoff to get in, even if you have a badge. So I had to wait till it started to get in. And when the buzzer went off and everyone does the hand clapping at the start, usually it's just insane, like just ants everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a couple of people like just prancing around to table. And I was watching it from like the second floor before I can go in. I was like, where is everybody? And then the amount of empty tables that were there.
Huh.
And so a lot of people got screwed. The actual professional booths, they were there the day before, and a lot of them said they got stranded there. They didn't have hotel rooms or anything. They couldn't even go home to come back the next day, and no hotels in that area were available. They had to go to Nishifunabashi and find a way to get to Nishifunabashi to find somewhere to stay, and then get back like 4 hours later, which was almost impossible. So there was... Luckily, the stuff I was interested in, the people made it, but I would say 40% of the kit builders, the amateur builders, didn't make it.
So I got there probably a good hour and a half, 2 hours after you.
Yeah.
And the first thing I did was make a beeline for Arcadia's booth.
Yes.
Where they had a pretty interesting announcement.
We all kind of knew this was coming because...
I think everyone saw through the picture.
Yeah, they announced that a new Macross product was going to be revealed at Wonder Festival about 2 weeks ago. 3 weeks before that, they announced Mr. K was going to be showing everyone how to transform the new YF-19.
Right.
So they keep throwing out these little bits of come by the booth, you can see this and that, and one of them was a advertisement product ad. But the wireframe of this new product was all mosaiced out, except for one little section that, if you looked at it, you could tell it was a very odd-shaped wing for Valkyrie. And how far back it is, it was obviously the D, so the VF-0D. And so everyone's, is it? Is it not? And then you could see that, was it the fuselage, the protruding antenna thing?
I don't know if it's the pitot tube or the pitot tube.
Pitot tube. So even though that was mosaiced, it was just kind of like, well, what else could that be?
Sure.
So we kind of knew that was coming.
VF5SS will tell us.
So you get to the booth, and usually they just have that same picture, but they were trying to put a lot of what they could. So they had the actual CAD data printed out in nice color of different angles, front, center, cut in half. They had a big poster with the actual actual character line out of Shin and the 3D setting 3D models, mm-hmm, of the actual with the data used in the toy, and they were giving away chirashi, little flyers for it, and these pins. So if you walked around, they'd give you this little pin.
Hold it up closer to the mic.
Oh, yeah, can you see that? Yeah. So
the little pins are the badges.
The badges, yeah. The little badges, I'm sorry.
It's a nice little badge.
It's a nice little badge.
Shows a VF0D.
Yeah.
And it says Macross Zero.
Yeah. So that, what is it called?
VF0D.
Phoenix?
The Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
The Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Right?
Totoro.
Not the UPS.
So many people notice the misspelling
of the Phoenix. Can I jump in and just put that disclaimer in? Because Mr. K was there, and Adrian here giving me a bit of a nudge, I went over and mentioned to him that the name was spelt wrong. And he didn't say outright that he was aware of it, but it very much seemed like he did. Because in between the time of the pictures going up, there were already a bunch of messages on notice boards and Facebook groups saying, oh, they got the spelling wrong. Oh, my God, couldn't they have checked it? And Mr. K was just like, look, we had to get something out for the show. We're in a rush. It just kind of popped in there, you know. It's not going to be on the final box art. I mean, should have been able to get through and popped in there? No, but...
Well, of that poster, because they did write Excalibur on the YF-19 actual wing itself.
Well, so, of that poster, it's not even
it
like...
fixed early.
You've got real... Well, it is early. They don't even have a prototype or a mock-up yet. Like, all the art on that poster was from the setting materials books.
And so is that for this year or next year?
It's 15.
2015. Okay.
So all the art on the poster was from the same material?
The actual poster, yes. Then there were a bunch of A4 printouts.
Okay, all right.
Which were CAD data.
Right.
But people were going on the poster and redoing all the colouring, saying the colouring should be like this. It's like, yeah, but this is the colouring direct from the book.
Oh, wait. This does look different from the photos that are online. Because if you look at this, this is very, very... grayish blue.
And we are looking at the flyer.
We're looking at the actual flyer that they gave out. No. And it's the same image that people took photographs of in the actual Wonderfest.
The images lens on the flyer, the colored images,
yes,
that's the data from the actual animation.
From the animation, right. Okay. Yeah.
So this is not the toy. The line art behind it is actually the line art for the toy.
Okay.
And I believe this is the non-transformable version of the line art, which... I'm pretty sure we saw once at one of the Yamato open houses. When they used to do like, which one of these would you want to see made?
Yeah.
And we've seen this data before. But they also had new data printed where it was actually in Batroid mode.
Yeah.
And you can actually see like the inner workings. And right. It's probably obviously T-Rex was probably the one.
And those are ones that are particularly bluish.
Yeah. Like, so it's like usually the CAD, just the typical CAD shaders of like a green, a blue.
It doesn't mean that your Valkyrie is going to be green and blue.
Yeah, there you go, the Phoenix.
So, they don't even have a prototype yet, and there's a lot of like just really basic elements of the transformation process which are still being figured out. That's how early they are into this process. So, it's early days to be criticizing anything. I think it looks... I can't say what it looks like because there's nothing to really look at.
But hang on, it's never too early to criticize stuff, I think. Because
you suck.
No, because they build up on that. To get that stuff out early.
Criticizing on mistakes criticizing when it's not a real mistake.
Criticizing the color is kind of dumb because the color is the last thing that they decide on. If you know, if you've heard a podcast before, you know, the VF-19 Kai, you know, they're like, what color is it? Is it red? What shade of red? You know, these are really the last steps in the design. So the color criticism, I think, is not warranted. But spelling and things like that, yes, please fix it as soon as possible.
Well, I mean, it's more... what I did was the most as constructive as I could be, as opposed to people who were tweeting him directly in full-on English that he didn't understand, saying...
Yeah, Mr. K does not speak any English.
Not a word.
Neither does anybody else on staff, except for one person that works there.
Yeah.
Who speaks somewhat some English.
So, directly going for something with a short Twitter count, character count, trying to explain something to someone who doesn't understand, is not a native speaker, is not really going to get the point across. But, so this flyer, just all it says is 2015. There's not even a season, which is normal.
Yeah. And at the bottom, it does say that this is only an image... Mm-hmm. And that the final product might be very different.
Might be different. Yeah. Now, as a concept, I really like the look of this. I won't say from the look of it because who knows the final version will look like. I would be more likely to pick one of these up than the new 19, to be honest, just because it's something new, something different.
Wait, I thought you already...
Yamato didn't make a 0D?
No,
they
did the
0D. It was always like... Such a big deal. Every time they had the poll, everyone wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be next? Oh, they kind of dropped the Zero line, and oh, they should bring it back, and yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they did have this line art.
Uh-huh.
And they showed it before, but you couldn't take photos of it.
Right.
And they used to have line art for Koenig Monster, too. Not yeah. a Koenig Monster, just the original Monster.
Monster, okay.
So, yep, it's the 2015 launch, 160 scale VF0D Fenix.
So that could be like almost actually, 2 years from now.
They actually made a mock-up of a 160
Yeah, they, that one was a probably like actually just sculpted.
Yeah.
And the data we saw was just the CAD data of the, just the Canon, I think. It wasn't even like the full thing.
So we have the VF0D announced.
But you got there around 1 o'clock?
Around 12.
Around 12. So they didn't just throw everything out. When I went there, when it opened, all they had was the YF-19s lined up. Like they the prototype, the production check, and then the final. And Mr. K was doing did two sessions of how to transform it. And then next to that, I think they had just the Valkyries that have already come out, which is the Hikaru and the Roy,
right.
and Tengen's anniversary, the 30th anniversary version. They're still pushing that. Of course, they want that to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And next to that was the Zero-D.
Right.
And that was all they had at the time during the opening.
Right.
And then when you got there...
They had... Well, at first, that's all they had when I was there as well, except they also had the tiny... They didn't have much details on it, but they had this new tiny SDF.
That wasn't out yet. No, that was the last thing to go out. Because when you got there, they finally put the gun pod out. Mm.
So they put the gun pod out. And the gun pod, yeah, it's expensive, all right. But we did get some hands-on time with it, which was not something I was expecting. I think you got a little more hands-on time.
No, the good thing, I think what happened was nobody was really supposed to play with it. Because they had a unit on display,
right.
and then Mr. K was holding one. And all of a sudden he got a phone call, and he just looked at me and he's like, here.
This is the human-sized
gun pod. Yeah, this is the human-sized gun pod.
Right.
And,
which is worth 110,000 yen.
Well, that's for the regular edition. What about the special edition?
Well, we'll get to that. That's the version they were selling at the show.
Yeah. And make no bones about it. It's a fun...
Toy
thing. I don't know what you would call it. I mean, it's...
Prop?
Not, yeah, it's a prop if you want to make a suit. I don't know.
Now, what did it actually do?
Well, if you get the version that actually has, the strap, you can walk around and look really cool with it on your back. And then you pull it forward and you pull the back back. You know, you pull the...
You extend the
button.
So back. If you turn into fighter mode, you can store it underneath.
Yeah. And then
your arms. So it does actually have, the barrel rotates.
Yeah, it actually has a safety lock, so if you push the safety, it won't fire. And then it doesn't fire anything, but... if you look at the barrel, it has the three barrels,
mm-hmm.
The rotary barrels, mm-hmm. and if you pull the trigger, they spin.
Okay.
And it as vibrates. It spins, it vibrates, and there's a flashing strobe behind it that you can see.
It's supposed to be muzzle flash. Now, the version they had for Adrian to play with was not necessarily the final product I was selling. It didn't have the sounds in it yet, because it's supposed to make the gun pod sound when you pull the trigger. It just had the vibration, the rotating barrel, and the strobe effect.
But it's not heavy. It's feels really cool, because I mean, it's like an airsoft gun, but it doesn't shoot anything. It's well made. It doesn't feel cheap at all. It feels pretty sturdy.
Not much weight to it.
No.
It is very much a plastic item. And there's going to be two more versions of this. So there'll be an online version, which is going to go on sale later on in March this year, which will be 128,000 yen. Now, that will have decals, UN spacing markings. But then there's the EX version for 158,000 yen, which is going to be available from May. And it's going to have, as you said, the strap. And it looks like the decals are already going to be on it. So you don't put them on yourself.
Wow, that's totally worth $400.
Exactly right.
Can you imagine putting a water slide decal on a barrel this big? I mean, they don't. You'd have to buy Q-tips like that are like the size of mops.
Yeah, it says it has the markings. I'm not sure how, like, whether they're already on there, whether they're not. I can't see that the strap alone can validate the $200-$300 price jump.
You can just go to the Yakuin store and buy a strap.
Buy a guitar strap.
But the question is, can the actual thing validate 11 or 12 or 15 man yen?
15 man yen.
Man yen.
Man yen.
Man yen.
Well, can the
man yen.
Can the Basara guitar justify 350,000 yen?
Yes, because well, that's a guitar, and that's the handcrafted thing. Like, that's... If you actually play guitar and you want a Basara guitar like somebody we know,
well,
it's probably worth the price.
Well, she didn't actually play guitar until
she
bought it.
But she plays fairly well now. But this gun, is as cool as it is, and as much as I want it, XE version or no, whatever. No, no way. I couldn't put the money down.
So let's go back to this then at our later.
All right, we'll come back to that. I mean, I think the you know, say the second issue of the helmets at 50,000 yen were something that I didn't have the money for at the time, but I wish I had of. But I would have been more likely to get a 50,000 yen helmet than this 150,000 yen gun.
Again, like for prices here, I mean, we're talking like over $1,000 for the U.S. for this thing.
So, well, getting back to what Wynn was saying, he is correct. When I got there, it wasn't there. The gun pod was not there, and you got this on tape that you are correct. About this
That's
particular
worth a beer.
Thing. Actually, the only thing they had for the gun in its place was just the advertisement and the details on the plastic housing that you can just read it. It didn't actually have the gun out.
Right.
Then after I left, I took all the pictures. I posted on Facebook about the D. And I took off. You got there. We came back. And yeah, you're right. They did have that new mini SDF-1.
Right, right.
So, have you guys seen that?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay, let me go get the camera.
How much is it?
7,500 yen.
Alright. And Arcady also was showing the SDF-1 Macross 110mm Chisai SDF-1 Macross kit.
One 110mm?
Yeah.
How many millimeters is it?
11 centimeters, right?
11 centimeters.
110 mm.
11 centimeters.
Okay. So it is not a toy. It is a kit. It's a 3D printed kit, and it's probably going to be similar to the Badolza Class Fortress that they sold last.
How much was that? Do you remember?
That Badolza Class Fortress. That
was expensive.
Ichiman Sanzen.
Right.
I'm writing these down.
So we're talking like
$130. Yeah,
writing
but it was a printed 3D model with color. So it's just out of the box. You put it on, you know, your desktop, and it looks cool.
Okay, so it was pre-assembled and painted.
Yeah, that was just one piece aside from the stand.
Mm-hmm.
This actually is the SDF-1 movie version, and it does go in cruiser and fighter attack mode. But I doubt that it's transformable. It probably just pull it apart, put it back together. It also comes with the Culture City. What are they? The Protoculture City.
Oh, okay.
That actually has a name, you know.
Yeah.
Altira.
Altira.
All right. So it actually has that base.
Okay.
So you can actually display it on its ass, like if it just got shot, and then it has...
Where the knees bend.
The knees have
where
to bend.
Where the knees bend. Mm-hmm. Or, well, actually, the hips will probably bend or whatever. And you can change the cannons to the destroyed cannons, the vaporized cannons.
Oh, okay. That's kind of cool.
But when they first displayed it, it was just in cruiser mode.
Mm-hmm.
And it had the city next to it. And then next to that was another version of the city, but smaller. So we're like, why is there two cities? Mm-hmm. And why are they different sizes? So I kind of guessed that... That city probably goes with the Badolza Fortress.
Oh, okay.
Because this is not in scale with the Badolza Fortress.
I thought one city was Macross City, and the other one was the Protoculture City.
Why would it be Macross City? That doesn't show up in...
What I wanted to
they'll do like a takeoff scene, here, I think. With it hovering over the city.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait. That never happens in the movie.
Yeah, but nothing is canon and everything is canon.
Macross canon.
No, they're the exact same bases. One would just scale
unless you're talking about Macross plots.
Yeah, and I was thinking it was probably the smaller one with the Bedolza Fortress.
If we get the
and then facts. Later in the day, they brought down that Bedolza Fortress.
Then we'll get the
and put it next to it. So
our Satori,
they'll probably offer the Bedolza Fortress again because that was only a Wonderfest limited.
Okay.
So according to this, as you were saying, it's an online shop exclusive.
Exclusive, yeah.
For Arcadia. It is a kit, and it looks like it's a pre-colored kit, so it's not a toy, and that's probably why it's so expensive, because it's pre-colored, it's 3D printed, there you go.
So, all right, so that's coming up. I think there's one other item that we need to cover, Macross related from Wonderfest. Pay no attention to the big box with the Macross logo behind us.
Yeah. That's not the Macross logo.
It is a
I don't know what that is.
We'll get into that, too. Alright. Okay, so the YF-19 from Arcadia is still looking amazing.
Yep.
Yeah, but Quinn, didn't you just say that you weren't going to get it?
This doesn't mean it can't look amazing.
Mm-hmm. Is it still looking at $300?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is still at... ¥3,800 with fast packs.
Yay.
So, you know, 32,000 yen, give or take.
And scheduled... And scheduled for April release of this year. So that was the professional area.
Right, yep.
So the Arcadia was actually located in the professional area of Wonderfest with like Good Smile and Medicom and all those kind of companies. And then in the amateur section, you had X-Pretend. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people were talking about his stuff because he's got the VFX and the Macross Dynamite 7. What Valkyrie is that?
The VM3 or the VA3?
The
VA3. Yeah. So that was out. He put that out. And there's a lot of other kit builders. A lot of people didn't make it, so there's not so many Macross kits. There was an awesome New Orleans Cheryl kit.
Yeah, it was great.
That because, you know, everyone rushes over there and they try to buy it first. Well, this guy gives out tickets that you can come back and check to see if you're allowed to buy it. I had 111, and one of the winners was 112. So I didn't get it. It was pretty awesome.
Yes, I saw that one.
Yeah.
This is the one that looks like the cover. Not the cover, but the
poster
promotional
art.
Poster.
The original,
with
actually the ripped outfit. The hair looks a little bit too panty and stocking.
They've never made a ripped outfit one, right?
No.
Even the Minmay was not.
Well, not official.
Well, just the Ichiban Kuji, but she's not all damaged.
Yeah.
Alright, so in the other halls you have the amateur kit circles and the smaller companies exhibiting, and this year there was a, I guess you could say, an amateur co-production with Tenjin and a fellow member of the Japan Garrison 501st. They have a circle called Tsukimono, and Tsukimono released the Macross 1-to-1 scale model kit of the VF-1 Valkyrie pilot suit, soldier, protector, and chest unit.
Which was shoulder pads.
Yeah, with shoulder pads and the unit in the front. Originally titled Breast Protector.
Breast Fighter.
Yep. And I got the email from Tenjin and said, does this box art look okay? And I'm like, well, why don't we just call it the chest unit instead of the breast unit. He's like, oh, this is like the... No. I'm like, you're thinking women with breasts and chest armor? I'm like, you know, the breast fighter. Like, everyone kind of giggled at that back in the day.
It's better than the breast chaser.
Why don't you explain it to him as if... Would you call a mecha an oppai fighter? Would you? No. So then...
Well, unless it's Redline.
Yeah, that's true.
Or something by a guy.
Right.
So
Space Dandy.
So yeah, he ran it by me to make just to check to see if the branding looked okay. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
That'll so what you're saying, this product was advertised as being completely supervised by Hidetaka Tenjin, right? But what you're saying is that it wasn't completely supervised by Hidetaka Tenjin, it was super supervised by Adrian Lozano.
Well,
save Robotech.
He's a super original army.
Yes, I guess not really. No, I didn't have. I mean, all I did was say change this, change that. That's it. That was
basically. What he does.
I was basically the Kawamori and all.
That's basically right.
Hang on,
more red dots. More red dots. I need some. Like, we need more red lights. More red light. So I just wanted to say that Tenjin worked on it. It was a co-production with the
501.
Well, he's a member of the 501, and he goes by Hiko 3. A member of the Japan Garrison 501st Star Wars Brigade, whatever you call them. And
Stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers. I don't know if he's a Stormtrooper. I think, well, Tenjin plays a Royal Guard.
Oh.
I don't know. Probably the other guy's a Stormtrooper. I'm not sure. So they put this together, and for about a month, their website was up. But it was just the sketch of the chess unit. And there was really, and the...
But is this the one he was wearing?
Yeah. No, that is the early prototype.
Okay.
And
that was at Macross the Museum.
Yeah, yeah. Macross Museum, he's wearing that. And that's the one Kawamori put on.
Yeah.
And if you remember, that was held together by just, canvas straps.
Okay.
This actually has, like, the housing on the side and on the back. It didn't have the back plate.
Okay.
It'd be interesting if, on the new Macross the Museum, they have the back plate.
The back
and all this stuff, because then they might have a talk show again, right?
Probably, yeah.
They'll probably bring something.
So, there was 20 of these produced, and because the average Wonderfest license, you can get 20 amateur licenses for something, and you can either sell 10 at one event or 20 at one event.
It's not like Tenjin's an amateur, though.
No, but it was just more like. Supervising it, because okay. You know, he wore it, he tested right. It, and to see if it would actually be, you know, feasible. Made changes, and
because the original one was a lot heavier.
Yeah, how much did he say it weighed?
At least 7 kilos.
Yeah, and that's because the shoulder pads and everything was just pure resin.
Right.
So it was just the big heavy weight, and right. This is made not just of resin, but of like rubber. I think the shoulders are some type of rubber.
Yeah.
And so we picked up two of these. Which wasn't an easy feat. Well, actually, it was quite easy, but we had to wait around. Because of the snow, I went to the attendance table in the morning, and I sent him a message like, are you sure your booth number's correct? And he says, we're not there yet. We're stuck. So he didn't show up until an hour and 20 minutes before the event closed.
Wow. Yeah, after 3 o'clock.
Yeah. So... He got there, they were setting up, they're putting it up, and, you know, most of, like, everybody we know, like, Beso and Hisame, everyone was waiting for him to get there. So when he got there, he was setting up, and everyone kind of just crowded the table. And they slowly put stuff up, and I picked up two, one for XS Toys and one for B. And we're going to open up B's right now because he gave me permission to open it up.
Oh, thank God. See, for the last 5 minutes, Adrian has been waving around this giant blade.
Yes.
Yeah. Punctuating all his... And I'm like, he's either going to kill us or show us the prototype armor.
I've been given permission to open this. All right. What do we have here?
Wow, that was a cut that was awfully close to Gwyn's lap.
Sticky paper.
Yes. Orange sticky paper.
Orange sticky paper.
More sticky paper. Should we be filming this? The unboxing? What's the yes. YouTube video
for? Oh, and it says right on it. Shoulder pad yellow sticker.
All right.
Yeah, so you line that up with it. And
oh, okay.
You cut it.
You cut it and stick it on. No paint required.
Let's see here. What we got here?
White
sticker. And what does this one say?
Someone says white sticker.
For the shoulder pad.
Yeah.
For the shoulder pad.
It's the side of the shoulder
pad. The side, yeah.
Shoulder pad. And they basically got...
left and right.
Left and right. Oh, actual printed instructions. See, I've got the file that actually says breast.
Oh, okay.
Shoulder unit.
Macross VF1 pilot suit.
Alright.
So, obviously, it looks like it was actually 3D printed. Or, not 3D printed, but it's done in CAD. So, it's not like a hand-sculpted unit. Which is probably good.
Lots of bubble wrap.
Lots of bubble wrap.
Oh, you don't need the black because it's in black.
There we go. Shoulder pad number one.
A bit of... That's
not cool. Oh, no, it's a kit, so you gotta get all this off. What do you want to call it? Alright. That's the back plate, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, wow.
It is kind of rubbery.
It's kind of rubbery.
Yeah.
No, it's molded really nice, actually. Well, not that I build kits, but... out of all the kits I've bought, that's molded really nice.
This is nice. It's got a nice feel to it.
I feel like I'm getting high.
Gold panning down here.
Mm. Now remember, this is a kit, so you do have to change some stuff.
This is the back.
Oh, that's the back.
Here's the front.
More parts here.
Nice breast unit.
Yes.
So that would be the bubble for the front.
Protecting my breast.
That would be the bubble for the front.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you go, Renato. Read that. Probably just says, put slot A and slot B.
Thank you very much for purchasing this product. This is a garage kit. So it means that you're going to need lots of different items, blah, blah, blah. And skill. You're going to need... a fair amount of skill to put this together.
Huh.
And 35,000 yen.
Mm-hmm. Be careful using a cutter knife.
Hey, whoever wrote that must know Adrian.
Yeah, or it says, Adrian, be careful while cutting. What's the point?
Yeah, this is definitely some assembly required.
Yeah, you're going to need a drill.
There is a part that has been drilled already. Oh, these parts here.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Definitely repacking this for shipping.
Yeah.
This is like Christmas. Alright.
Which year? Not 84, definitely.
I didn't get any of this stuff.
You can almost make the helmet out of this.
No, that's sun just visor. Like one of those... Yeah, one of those old ladies' sun visors that they wear over here.
Oh, yeah.
Which basically means that if you buy two sun visors, you can make your own. Sorry, Tenjin, there was a cheaper option.
That's what Hisami said.
Really?
Oh, it's... the casting's really well done.
Yeah, no, it looks great.
Get you high, too. Really high. But, yeah, it's kind of... the sad part was... this was a very expensive kit. You're looking at about $340 US.
Right.
Before shipping. Because it's going to be a little bit heavy.
And how much are the helmets to go with it?
Well, they used to be 500 in the second run.
Second run was about 4,000. Yeah. And... here's the thing. Prior to it, you know, whenever you're selling a kit, you're paying for a license to sell it, and you really don't make money off of these kits. It's more of a hobby.
Right.
So you, and a kit of this magnitude, you're putting all your money into it, and you're not. You're just hoping to get your money back. And he showed up, say, an hour and a half before it was over,
right.
And most of everybody figured, you know, he's probably... not coming because of the snow, and anybody that probably was going to buy it in the morning either couldn't make it themselves or they already left. So I don't know how many were sold, but these will, whatever's left, they will be available at Summer Wonder Festival. Right. So if anybody wishes to get one of these, please contact Speaker Podcast and we'll arrange to get them for you.
Does this mean that he has to renew that license? Or
no, it's for the two events.
So he's got 1 year. He's got he can either sell all 20 at one event, or sell 10 and another 10.
Okay, good.
Or, in this case, he can just take them all and sell them to the next event.
Now, the license is that you can only sell them on the day at the event, but you can take orders beforehand and people can pick them up.
Yeah.
So, if anyone is interested in doing some very, very sexy Hikaru or Foka or, heck, Isamu with a bit of modification.
Or Kakizaki.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy. What about Max?
It doesn't come with a coffin.
Who cares about Max? Kakizaki.
Oh, yeah. Dude. For Max, you have to wear a dress.
Yeah,
right?
For...
Yeah.
Sorry. Maybe for... Maybe for Mac WorldCon, even.
Yeah, Mac WorldCon.
Drop us a line, and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe we'll have to make this, like, get one of these and have, like, the prize for the custom contest or something like that.
Should we move on then?
Yeah. Was there anything you wanted to mention?
No, I think we pretty much...
there is something I want to mention.
Covered Wonderfest. What?
August! Dun-dun!
Oh, before we go on that, the other thing was, Maine had a live...
She had a really tiny gig, like two or three songs or something like that, which we missed because we were too busy networking and schmoozing.
Yeah, networking, schmoozing, accosting people for free sketches. Well, actually, you paid for it.
I paid for it. I didn't think she was going to do any Macross songs, but she did end up doing Itezo Gogo Kuji, Don't Be Late.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise. But that was kind of to tie in with the fact that apparently they had a Rankin Android on stage with her because there is a main Nendroid coming out. So it's like Maine as Cheryl with the Ranker Nendroid. And that Nendroid will only be available at Maine's upcoming series of concerts. And even then, apparently, they'll be limited in availability.
Yeah, actually, they've been doing that for a lot of idol singers as well. That's not the first time they've done that.
She's like the fourth or fifth singer. They did it for Team Revolution, for...
Really?
For Mizuki Nana.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone else I don't remember.
And they're only available at the live event.
Their gigs. Mm. Okay.
So, and then also Good Small, because I was at the Good Small booth. They're also doing the Hatsune Miku race car, because every year they do the racing.
Right.
And apparently now the car has a mecha transformation.
Right.
And Kyle Mori is the designer. Created the concept of what that car would look like as a robot. And it looks... Kawamori car kind of robot thing.
Right. And he did a talk show. A small talk show about that. Apparently, we were not able to make it.
Yeah.
So, Renato, you want to mention something?
I already mentioned it. So.
August. All right. Fine. Yeah, no. There was an August toy coming. Very little in the way of any details unknown at this point.
So that's it.
It was poster announcing that they decided to do something.
Yeah.
So
that's Mega House, I think, right?
Is it?
I think so. I think it's their variable action line.
So this is the beginning of the Orgus Renaissance, is what we're saying.
Yeah, variable action, Orgus.
High spec.
And the last time anything
even
like the last time anything like this ever happened was literally down the street at CM Summer announcement event where they actually showed prototype and some poster artwork of this very same mecha, and it never surfaced.
Yeah.
So
fingers crossed.
Yeah, if it's Mega House, it'll probably come out, but I doubt if they'll do like the full line of mecha, because they tried that with Mospita and they cut off at the Fuke.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Alright, so we're going to stop things here. For now, I'm going to split this podcast in two because it's gotten pretty long.
As always.
So, for the first half of this episode of Macross Speaker Podcast, this is the crew folding out.
Goodbye.
We're still recording. So, Gwyn's gun pod went off. And now he's got it all over the sofa, and he has to get something to dry it.